In the power of Christ, we stand, we listen, we learn, we grow in our faith. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, from the gospel reading tonight, Jesus says, O unbelieving generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought the boy to Jesus. When the evil spirit saw Jesus, he threw a temper tantrum. He immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground, rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, How long has he been like this? From childhood, the father answered, It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes. And immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. One of the best prayers in Scripture, one of the most succinct prayers, and one of the best ones that anyone has prayed in the Scriptures or that we can pray is the prayer of the Father. I want to believe. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. There really isn't one, but what if there was a faith meter, a belief meter, a meter somehow that was someplace on our bodies that would tell either how much we believe or how much we don't believe? What would it look like today? What would it look like right now? Where would your belief meter be right now? You know, it's interesting that there are different things that can change that belief meter. Sometimes it's really easy to believe. You're healthy, things are going well, you don't have too many cares in the world, the family's all getting along well together, maybe even it's confirmation Sunday and your child is being confirmed, maybe it's a wedding and your child is being married, maybe it's a baptism and you're bringing your child to baptism. You know those times, right? There's times when it's easy to believe. There's times when, boy, there's just so many good things that are happening. But I think you probably also know, don't you, that there are times when it is hard to believe. There's times when, can I get that back? There it is. When it's hard to believe because seems like the world's falling apart. Seems like God isn't in our lives anymore. The doctor says inoperable cancer. The doctor says it's time for hospice for mom or for dad. There's a terrible death in the family, whether it's a child or a parent or a spouse or someone who's very close to us. I know it's been 14 years ago, but somebody just asked me yesterday as far as 9/11 was concerned, why did God let that happen? Why did he let so many people die there? There's all kinds of things that happen. Can you imagine what those Kurdish refugees are feeling and how they're doing as they try and find a place to live and no one wants them? They keep closing borders to them. And these are Christians. These are Christians who are fleeing for their lives because their lives are being threatened. Can you imagine what their faith meter must be looking like? Have you experienced times like that in your life? Or maybe times like this poor man in the Scriptures. This poor man who, for a number of years, has had a son who is demon-possessed. A good reminder to us that all evil comes from Satan, that Satan is involved in all evil that's there. And this man, in faith, brought his son to Jesus. But Jesus wasn't available. Mark chapter 9, as you read through the Gospel of Mark, you find out that earlier in Mark chapter 9, Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John are up there. Remember Moses and Elijah? You remember all that? Jesus is up on the Mount of Transfiguration, this wonderful experience that's happening there. But in the meantime, we know this poor father, in faith, is bringing his son to Jesus for Jesus to heal him. But Jesus isn't there. So what does the father do? He asks the disciples. He asks the disciples to help him. did this father know that prior to this, it happens to be in Mark chapter 6, take a look at it later on, that the disciples had been sent out. Do you recall that? Jesus had sent out the 12 disciples and had given them power over the evil spirits, and that the disciples had cast out evil spirits and healed people, and then they had come back to Jesus. The disciples had been casting out evil spirits. And so did this father think, okay, Jesus isn't available, but Jesus can have these disciples do it as well. Oh, how terrible it was that the disciples couldn't do it either. Where was that man's faith meter? Really hard to believe. And so when Jesus comes, they're all excited. Oh, finally, Jesus is here. And then what does Jesus do? He asks, kind of a goofy question, isn't it? How long has he been like this? Man, if I was the father, I'd say, Jesus, what difference does it make? I need for you to do something for me. How strange it is, and yet Jesus asks him that question, and the man then says, if you could do anything, can't you feel his frustration? Have you ever felt that frustration? Has that ever been a part of your life? Jesus, if you're even with me, if you're even around, can't you do something? And Jesus then says to this man, if you can, everything is possible with God. Oh, yes. The man remembered. The man remembered that certainly all things are possible with God. And so the man prays that beautiful prayer. Jesus, I want to believe. I want to have more faith. Please help my unbelief. Ah. Wonderful, wonderful prayer that God gives to us. God wants to give us more faith. His great desire is always to give us faith to get through all the different situations in life, to help us to know and to trust in Him. Not just when the good times are happening, but especially in the very difficult times, the times when we have difficulties and when it's very hard for us to even maybe believe. You know, to add insult to injury, while this man was asking the disciples to help out, here were the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees who were there. They couldn't help him out either. In fact, what were they doing? They were arguing with the disciples, and they were doing all these kinds of things that were not helpful at all. Jesus then, seeing a large crowd coming, this is getting to be a scene. Jesus, in his great compassion, says to the evil spirit, come out of that boy. And of course, the evil spirit has to listen to Jesus, has to obey Jesus. And yet, the evil spirit throws a temper tantrum, throws that poor boy until it looked like he was dead, and Jesus says, no, he's not, and raised him then. How often we maybe question Jesus. Jesus, if you can do anything, help my family. Jesus, if you can do anything, take this grief away from me. Jesus, if you can do anything, heal this person. We oftentimes can pray those kinds of prayers as well, because it seems like for us that faith and feelings sometimes go together. And sometimes our feelings get so much in the lead that our faith kind of sits down below. But Jesus would have us turn that around and have us in faith, regardless of what our feelings are, know that He wants the very best for us. He always wants the very best. And so Jesus, true to form, gives us an app for that. You know, we got an app for everything, right? You have a telephone and you got an app. He gives us an app for more faith. It's called the Scriptures. It's called reading the Scriptures. The more we read and know God's Word, the more that we hear God's word and that becomes a part of our life, the more that faith helps us through all the difficult times and the other times in our lives. What a gracious God we have who gives us the simple word of his Bible, and the ability for us to read it, to hear it, to study it, to know it, and to believe it. It's not our feelings that our faith is dependent upon, and aren't you glad? It's God's grace. It's God's promise. It's God's grace that saves us. It's God's grace that gives us that special ability to live and believe in him. The man's faith, yes, was weak. It was weak because circumstances seemed overpowering for him, just like for our lives as well. But Jesus did not leave the man in that way. The man's prayer, "I believe, I want to believe, help my unbelief." Jesus loves to answer that prayer. "Yes, I will. I will give you more faith. I will help you to grow in your faith." And he did. The real miracle that Jesus did for that man wasn't just healing his son. The real miracle was he gave the father more faith. He gave the father that ability to know and trust and believe in Jesus. But you know, it's interesting, this story isn't just about the father. It's not just about the father who comes, but what about the disciples? You know, the scripture reading continued so that it came to where after Jesus had driven out the demon and the disciples are kind of, whoa, thinking about what just happened there and so on. And as they're in the house, as oftentimes happened, they say, Jesus, let me ask you something. Why was it that we couldn't drive out the demon? They knew that they had done it before. They knew that prior to that, Jesus had given them authority to do so. Why is it that we could not drive out the demon? Isn't it fascinating where Jesus answers and said, "This kind can only be driven out by prayer." What do you understand by that? Is there certain prayers that are more powerful than other prayers? No. What apparently happened was, what were the disciples trying to do? They're trying to do it on their own. "Hey, we did it before. I bet we can do it again." And there was this arguing going on. "I'm more important than you are. Hey, let me drive this demon out. No, 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 let me drive this demon out." There must have been something going on where the disciples, not in their true faith, not in trusting in Jesus, but trusting in themselves, they forgot this word from Proverbs. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." The disciples were probably trying to do it on their own. What was the father? The father was trying to do things on his own. When do we run into problems? We run into problems when we focus upon ourselves and try and do things on our own rather than trusting in the Lord. This kind can only be driven out by prayer. Well, prayer is the focus that we have. When we pray, we take the focus off of ourselves and put it on the true focus, and that is Jesus Christ. That in prayer, in the kind of prayer that Jesus would have us to say, our focus is on what Jesus has done, can do, promises to do, on all the things that he has, his word has told us about. And so in prayer, he reminds us and brings us back to his word and his promises. The real power, the power against Satan, the power against the evils of this world, the powers against sin and death and suffering and all of those is in Jesus. It's in Jesus and the words and promises that he gives to us. And so what a blessing tonight, once again. What a blessing to come together, to hear his word, to be strengthened in our faith, to know our Lord and Savior Jesus in a more dependent kind of a way, dependent upon Jesus, not our feelings, not what we do, but 100% on what Jesus does. Oh, does Jesus love the prayer? And does he love to answer that prayer? "Lord, I want to believe. I want to have stronger faith. Help my unbelief." And again tonight, Jesus says, "Yes, I will. And I do." May Jesus continue to help you and me to continue to grow stronger in our faith, regardless of what it is that happens in our lives, as we always look to Him as our Lord and Savior. In the name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God that passes all our understanding keep our hearts and our minds always centered in Jesus Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.